The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Salma Khalid, Senior Health Correspondent for the Straits Times. We are honoured to have as our special guest tonight National Development Minister Lawrence Wong, who co-chairs the Multi-Ministry Task Force for COVID-19. Mr. Wong, a very big welcome.
Evening, Salma.
We know you have been very busy jointly helming Singapore's response to the pandemic with Health Minister Gan Kim Yong. You know, how important is economic impact when it comes to making these decisions? Or is it just human life that is looked at?
Our basis of making decisions has to be first and foremost from a public health perspective, doing what is right and necessary. Right? So that to me is the key priority. There will be economic consequences from these public health measures. But I think then we will have to just manage the economic impact rather than worry too much about the economic impact and because of that, choose not to take certain important public health measures. Because if you think about this, if we decide not to do the public health measures, it doesn't mean there's zero economic impact.
Right.
The virus itself, if we do not have any public health measures, the public health, the virus itself will spread. People may still not want to go out on their own accord anyway. You know, people will not travel. Airlines will still be impacted. The economic impact will still be there regardless. Right. So the approach we take is look first and foremost at the public health measures from a public health perspective. Do what is right, do what is necessary to save lives. Recognize the economic impact arising from these measures, and they are not trivial at all. I mean, if you talk about the latest set of safe distancing measures we put in, we do understand many people's livelihoods are impacted. We've suspended, we've closed many entertainment outlets. We've closed and suspended center-based tuition and enrichment classes. These are very painful for people running these businesses, and I fully understand. So we hope the business owners themselves do understand why it is necessary and why we have to make some of these difficult decisions in order to contain and slow down the spread of the virus. But separately, even as we have been deliberating over these measures, we have also been closely updating our colleagues in the Ministry of Finance who have been working on the second package.
Right.
And that's why they have also taken all this into account in coming up with the second package of measures which DPM Heng announced recently.
Yes, I think we're all very grateful for that. Was that perhaps the most difficult decision the team had to make, or were there other very difficult decisions that you had made over the last 2 months?
Look, I think this past 2 months has been fraught with difficult decisions. Like I said, you know, we are dealing with so many issues almost on a daily basis. We had cruise ships. Should we take in a cruise ship? Should we not? How do you decide? And we had to deal with border controls. Initially one country, China, then more countries. And it went country by country by country. Eventually we had to close the borders for the whole world. It's a very major decision. And then you talk about safe distancing. Again, we started with just talking about large-scale events, controlling that. Then we went further from 250 to 10, from religious services, allowing to continue with some precautions to full suspension of services, even private events like weddings and banquets. It's very disruptive to people's lives. But again, and all of these decisions happening in quick succession, in a matter of days. So this is what we've been through. This is what the entire task force has been focused on, right? Every decision is a difficult one. We take it very seriously. We do not just do it hastily or in a knee-jerk fashion or blindly copy what others are doing, but we think through as much as we can what's the situation within Singapore, what are the risks, and what are the measures that are needed to manage and mitigate these risks. And we try to do all of this as proactively as possible.
You know, there's a lot of confusion out there, and we're getting a lot of questions from our readers as well. What exactly is carrying on life as normal with precautions? What does it mean?
So it really depends on what phase we are through in this whole period, right? Because if you're talking about present time, we are implementing a set of moderate to high level of precautions in terms of safe distancing, where we tell everyone, like I said earlier, stay at home as far as possible. So under these circumstances, life as normal should mean minimizing contact with friends outside of your immediate family, not even lunches or dinners. Even if it meets the requirement of less than 10, this is not the point, right? It's not about, oh, let's just find a group that is about 9, maybe 10 is just nice and we just comply with the guidelines. The question is, do you need to, particularly during this time where we say we really want to reduce interactions with people in order to slow down the virus. So during this time, life as normal should mean stay at home as much as possible. Simple as that.
Yes, but then the restaurants are still open. The shops are still open. So you leave them open, which means people can go. So it's a bit of a mixed signal. So if you have them open, you mean we should be able to go, right? But then now you're telling me if you don't have to go, don't go. And usually these meetings with friends, you don't really have to go.
Yeah. So restaurants are open because people still do need to go out to eat. I say I'm staying at home more often, but I do go out to tapao food. I walk out from my home and I'll go to the food court nearby, I'll go to a hawker center and I'll buy food back. My lunch, I go to a Starbucks, I'll get a coffee, right? So I think that's fine. That's not going to cause about more transmission. You're going to a place to bring home, to buy packet food and then you bring back. But we're talking about social gatherings.
Yes.
Right? So going out to a shop, you may need to go to a pharmacy. You may need to buy something, some essential supplies, some food supplies. You may need to buy takeout. So fine, the shops are open for a purpose because people still need to go on living and they need to go and get supplies and then bring back home. Sure. But where it comes to activities with others, I would say keep it to a minimum and then stay at home as much as possible. Yes, indeed, very much so.
You know, the government keeps talking about this being here for the long term. How long is long term? All the measures are till end of April. Mm. Does it mean that by the end of April, we should be able to be a bit more normal?
Well, this is one of the issues that I've been trying to communicate and let people know. There is no short-term fix for this. Because from time to time, I've received feedback from Singaporeans on email, on my Facebook, saying, why don't we go for more drastic measures? Let's do a lockdown for 2 weeks and reset after that, and life can go back as normal.
And your answer to that is?
Well, unfortunately, that's not going to happen. There is no short-term fix that will cause us to reset back to a normal situation. It's just not going to happen. And it's not just unique to Singapore. If you look around the world, that's the reality. Even China is still in semi-lockdown mode after so long. The train system in Beijing is running at less than 30% of normal utilization rates. Very few people are going out. The streets are empty. So even if we were to do more drastic measures, it doesn't mean that that will cause the problem to disappear after 2 weeks. So I've used the analogy that what we are looking at is a series of breaks that we can apply, but apply throughout the next 6 months to the end of the year or even longer, and you can calibrate the extent of the breaks, right? We are now at a perhaps moderate to high level where we apply more breaks under the set of measures that we say will continue till end April. If the situation is managed well by then, we could lift our foot off the pedal slightly, but not completely. We won't go back to zero. And then we would maybe go to a sort of a more moderate posture. But if it is not, if the cases still rise, unlinked cases still rise, and the conditions warrant it, then we will have to apply more pressure on the brakes and go for even more measures to help slow down the virus spread. That's where we will be for months, and we have to be mentally prepared and psychologically prepared for this. It is not just us in Singapore. It is literally the whole world in such a posture until we see better medical treatments, perhaps antiviral drugs that are now on clinical trials, or until vaccines are ready, which will only be by next year, not this year.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. Thank you so much for the time and for the insights you have shared. It certainly was an eye-opener for me. That's all the time we have today, but do keep up to date on the latest in the coronavirus pandemic in Singapore and around the world at straitstimes.com.